Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
How? Just how? How does Florida State lose at home to Boston College? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, whole band back together after Labor Day, and we're so excited. We've got so many new things to debut this week with the NFL upon us, but Pearl, what we saw last night was just unforgivable from Florida State. I mean, credit to Boston College. That was a fun team to watch. They took Florida State and took their lunch money on the ground. They were the bully. They were just better. But Florida State, to start the season 0-2, they were 16.5-point favorite yesterday. They got the heat, the humidity. You got Boston College coming in, and they were not competitive.
That wasn't Boston College. Didn't you hear Lewis Riddick on the ESPN telecast? That was 85 Nebraska, apparently. And that's the week after Florida State lost to 83 Oklahoma. There's so much blame to go around. Yeah, obviously,
where do you want to start?
DJU, the quarterback's getting killed. The coach is getting killed, Mike Norvell. But you have to start with the run defense, right? Like, and I guess that's our Norvell. To me, this is such a cliche, but run defense is all about effort. And the fact that they've gotten so torched on the ground. I mean, how did BC, I don't think of BC as a running team. But I don't think of Bill O'Brien as a specifically running coach. How do you let that happen in your home field where you just get run over? With all your problems, to me, that's the first and most important one.
Without a doubt. But let's diagnose what's really going on with Florida State, which, by the way, Florida State, a team that was picked to win the ACC. Whatever you think about the ACC, they were picked to be the champion of a power conference, okay? Boston College was picked to finish 14th out of 17 teams in this conference. Yeah. So let's talk about Florida State, because you're right, they lost that bad game to Georgia Tech in Ireland, but, you know, you maybe forgive that. Georgia Tech has an interesting way to play. You're in a different country. We could explain this away 100 different ways. At home in a quote-unquote get-right game, you got smoked. And to be honest, they called off the dogs. They could have scored more, but Bill O'Brien, yes, that Bill O'Brien, the former NFL coach, Penn State coach, all that, he did the NFL thing where you take knees instead of trying to run up the score. It could have been even worse, Pearl. But this is what I see with Florida State, and I'm curious if you agree. This just all goes back to last year and getting snubbed for the college football playoff. This is like a bad breakup or something that a team can't get over, and everything that has gone on since has just been an outright disaster. And
but
it's got to be the hangover from that, because this team has too much talent on paper to be laying an egg like they did last night.
Yes, but isn't it it's sort of a different team? I keep arguing with our executive producer, EJ Stewart, on this. It's not the same team as last year. So how can that's not a good excuse, because they're all new players. I think they're 15 new starters, right? So these guys didn't get snubbed last year. It was a different bunch of guys, and they're all in the NFL now. To me, I think they might just be bad.
Well, I kind of refuse to accept that.
Well, Pete Thamel said that, or somebody said that they have all these first-round picks or high NFL picks on their defensive line. That's impossible. I mean, that's just, that cannot be true.
Well, see, that's the thing.
I've watched enough college football to know those players on Florida State's defensive line are not NFL players. Like, they are wildly overrated. This happened before where guys go, I think they just botched the transfer portal. I think they just picked the wrong players. I think their GM is the problem. Not exact. I understand what you're saying about the hangover. Yeah. There's definitely some of that.
Like, I'm playing devil's advocate. Right?
No, but it's also, they might stink. Why do you think they don't stink? Why do you think the talent's not way down?
Because, again, I'm seeing people who do this for a living, evaluating talent, saying that's an NFL player on the defensive line, and that one, and that one. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing them say that this offensive line is so experienced and they can't run the ball. And so to me, yeah, it's different names from a year ago, but I think it's like a cultural thing of getting snubbed last year. They're in this protracted lawsuit with the ACC, just everything about it. I don't know how that would filter down to the players, but clearly it's having an impact on the program, because I think that snub last year has now derailed the whole program. Mike Norvell took over a once proud program that was really in the dumps. But what did he do? Put together back-to-back double-digit win seasons. They were on the upswing. And I think either they overreacted to getting snubbed with going into the portal and getting DJU, thinking they needed to get this guy who had been inconsistent at two different stops. And now the quarterback from Florida State, it is just beyond, it's painful to watch him play football right now.
Well, how do you know, though, that the Florida State team that Mike Norvell took over, maybe that's who Florida State is? Maybe that, like, the maybe last year was the aberration, and they really
2 years in a row with double digit wins. Last year,
but
was,
they had two losing seasons before that.
Yeah, bad seasons.
I think they had four losing seasons in a row, and they're about to have another losing season. So maybe that's who they are. Maybe this program is way overrated because of last year.
Wow. I mean,
Jordan Travis, last night there were plays where DJU was awful as he played. If he had any mobility, that would have made a gigantic difference. If you had Jordan Travis in there, why is it that we can't say they missed last year's players? Like, it has to be an emotional hangover. I understand what you're saying.
I think it is, because I think that they were a program on the upswing. It's not like they didn't try to address important areas. And, you know, you're in a conference where you're kind of like, you know, you should be the cream of the crop.
Right.
And I think to me, I do see this as a hangover. I'm curious out there at 855-212-4227. Do you see this as just, all right, Florida State's back to being mid? Or do you see it as the hangover from last year and getting snubbed?
Well, I mean, do you think, okay, if it is a hangover from last year, eventually hangovers wear off. They're 0-2 right now. Do you think that it's going to be a season-long hangover, or do they get over it? Because I think they just stink. I mean, DJU obviously is not good. Like, I don't care about it. I don't care what his emotional state is. He's the same. By the way, he's actually consistently inconsistent. Like, he's the same quarterback as last year. His same QB rating as Oregon State. He makes some great throws, makes some bad throws. The hangover aspect is interesting on the run game. Are they really just going to get bullied all year long? Do they have any fight left in them? Or are they just, you know, are they basically lying down for the whole year? I think that it's going to be this way the whole year. I think they have a losing record. I'm betting against the Seminoles every day.
You picked them to win the ACC.
Well, they're not Alabama. I mean, I know. They're definitely like, now I realize, and I did pick them to win the ACC. Now I realize last year was the aberration. The rule is they are mid.
855-212-4227. I'm just stunned. I think this is, of all the big takeaways, and we will dissect the games that we saw over the weekend with the USC's and LSU's and Notre Dame's and Georgia and Clemson, and there's so many big takeaways, but you got to start with what you saw last night, because I think Florida State starting out of the gate at 0-2 when last year they probably should have been one of the final four teams.
Yeah.
They should have been playing for a national title. And now it looks like a cliff just came and they all just ran right off of it. And you're right. I think the effort can be questioned. The decision-making can be questioned. And how do you regroup on the fly like this? Like, forget all that, it's a 12-team playoff. There's plenty of time to get back in this thing. There's not. At this point, you are just trying to play for pride and, you know, salvage the season. But you're not with DJU. I think that ship, I think we've seen enough of him.
Well, yes, but one thing I would also like to counter, like, let's not put this whole thing on DJU. I mean, there was...
Oh, drops.
I mean, there were drops where DJU hit guys between the numbers, experienced guys who have no excuse whatsoever. And if that's an emotional hangover, like a drop, I think they were pressing so much. They were so desperate. I think, and I blame the coach on that. Mike Norvell had them tight as all get out. They
going
were dropped
for it on fourth but, down. I mean, really, the first drive of the third quarter.
Oh well, yeah. And not only that, like you just can't tackle a guy. So what? Who, I don't care if you had an all-world quarterback. You can't let up that much running. There was just so many issues I had with the play calling. By the way, I didn't have an issue with because last week when they tried to run the ball against Georgia Tech, it was pathetic.
Yeah.
So last night, every first down, did they run on first down at all? I don't have the stats in front of me. It felt like they dropped back DJU every single play, which is funny because he wasn't playing well. But they're like, we're going to keep on hammering this home. I think that was a matter of pressure. Mike Norvell felt so desperate by the second half of the game. You mentioned the fourth down. It was just like, this isn't happening to us. This isn't happening. We got to do something. And the harder they pressed, the worse they played.
So we're talking about FSU losing last night to Boston College. Congrats, Bill O'Brien. And he gets his first win as the Boston College head coach. Kind of an odd career move for him. He was going to go to Ohio State and be the offensive coordinator, and then the job at BC opens up, and he ends up taking that job, and it's kind of circuitous. I love how they're like, Bill O'Brien, his dream job at Boston College is like, guys, it's a lie. he'll do a good job there, but please don't sell me that Bill O'Brien's been waiting his whole life to be coaching Boston College when he's most likely going to be out of there in their first good season. But we can talk about that another time.
But I think another question is, who is for real, Georgia Tech or Boston College? Like,
great question.
And that has to do with how good is Florida State? Like, did they beat a bad team and they're going to come back to the pack as we expected? Or does this, you know, we'll find out later how good a job Bill O'Brien did in this game by how Florida State's opponents do moving forward. Yeah they might be awesome, or Florida State's just the worst.
I'm shocked. I was stunned by the outcome last night.
Yeah, me too.
And it's a heck of a way to start off a college football season, which I thought beyond delivered in week one. Week zero, put that to the side. Week one, coming off of the last, I feel like I've been watching football now for like five straight days. Like, my eyes are already starting to bleed in the best way possible. I was so outright impressed. Not with everybody, Pearl, not with everybody. Obviously, Florida State wasn't good. Clemson, we have a lot to unpack there. There were some teams, you know, Oregon, very dicey. We'll get to it all. But I would say on the whole, I was more impressed with what I saw in college football week one, specifically from some of these quarterbacks than I was expecting.
Definitely. I'll give you the quarterbacks. I'll give you the greatest group of freshmen and every other class wide receivers to ever enter the sport. I mean, all of a sudden, there's 11 Randy Mosses in the nation as well. I don't know. I blame Odell Beckham. Now, every single kid knows how to catch with one hand. This is going to be, there's going to be.
You blame
some
him or you thank him. I thank Odell Beckham for that. He wasn't the first guy to ever make one-handed catches, but this is spectacular.
We might have four of the greatest college football wide receivers in the history of the game going right now. You're right. And maybe it's the quarterbacks are good too. You're right. The level of play is great. Overall, things are a little choppy. I would say the helmet communications in the offensive, as you predicted, is keeping some scores down.
Slowing things down.
I don't think the LSU-USC game, like USC could barely get a play and they didn't know what was going on and still won the game. But I agree, there are some spectacular athletes. Like we talked about the Heisman race. Oh my God. There's like, is it me or is there 20 possible candidates after week one?
I thought it was really impressive. Really impressive, especially when you just had six quarterbacks go in the first round of last year's NFL draft. I don't know if we're setting up for six, but this was thought to be, oh, well, maybe we're going to have a down year for the quarterback class. Maybe we get a Carson Beck. Maybe we get one other. I think now, not to overreact, but I felt like I was watching four first rounders out there.
Four.
Yeah.
I think there's three top three. Then it gets interesting. I know who you think is a four that I disagree with him.
Who's that?
I mean, Miller Moss is tiny.
Yeah,
he was throwing the ball into defensive linemen's hands a lot.
And that could have been a very bad drive where he gets two balls batted down that probably should have been intercepted in the game against LSU. But I'm watching small quarterbacks get drafted over and over again, especially smaller quarterbacks who play for Lincoln Riley. The NFL can't quit these guys.
Fair point.
He could go number one overall, I mean, let alone get drafted. I'm watching Carson Beck, I thought, looked very good. Although that game, I think, is being remembered a little different than it actually happened, even though it just happened 3 days ago.
Well, Beck was always going to be a top first-round pick.
He's very good. I thought that Miller Moss was very good. I think that Shador is still a first round pick. We go back to Thursday night's game. And I thought Garrett Nussmeier was good. I don't think he's a first rounder. I thought he was very good. I'm watching true freshmen like Dylan Raiola look very good. He's obviously not going to the draft. He wouldn't be eligible.
You're forgetting the number one pick, Cam Ward.
And Cam Ward, of course.
Cam Ward is like EJ's a giant Cam Patrick Ward. Mahomes.
I know.
Yeah, hello. Come on, Maggie.
Hey, EJ, how you doing?
Also, Jackson Dart. I mean, the college football passer rating is weird. It goes up to some bizarre number. I mean, you can't possibly have a better game than Jackson Dart did at Ole Miss. You're right.
But he didn't play anybody.
But can we also talk about it? I'm telling you one thing. The running backs are, I mean, Ollie Gordon, like nobody has any interest in tackling that man at all. Just let him run into the end zone. Boise State running back. There are so many exciting players. This is going to be, we got to really focus on the Heisman race this year, Maggie. It's going to be tough.
But we've already made our selections.
We did?
Yes, we did. I mean, if you'd like a mulligan, I might be able to offer one to you, but I don't feel great about it.
Did I pick DJU?
Did you? You didn't, did you? No, I picked Travis Hunter because I picked the first non-quarterback off the board. It turns out this could be a great quarterback class, so that was maybe a bad mistake on my part. But I will not take the mulligan. Three touchdowns, let's not forget, against North Dakota State. I'm going to stick with Travis Hunter, the two-way star from Colorado. Yeah.
You have no issue with celebrating a win over a lower-level team like it was winning the national title Colorado did?
That was a little tough. Who was your Heisman pick? How could you forget?
One of the producers here jump on. I have no idea. We picked the Heisman?
We picked the Heisman.
EJ, who did I pick?
We definitely did pick the Heisman.
EJ, who did you pick?
I don't know why. I can't remember.
I have a future bet on Miller Moss.
Oh, did you do Dylan Gabriel? I feel like you did Gabriel.
Could have.
I
think I have a future on Miller Moss and a future on Carson Beck last year, which bombed.
Not going to be able to cash that one.
We'll double check. Did I go Dylan Gabriel? That doesn't sound like me. I do love a lefty. We'll find out. We're going to go into the archives. But I'm changing my bet right now. I'm going Cam Ward, baby. Cam Ward to the promised land.
How do you not remember your pick? We made it 6 days ago.
Do you know how much has happened since then, Maggie?
True.
All right, Florida State, that's the question. If you're watching that game last night, is this the hangover from last year? Is this just all-time bad? And we'll take your biggest takeaways from college football week one. What a slate it was. 855-212-4227. Speaking of going on the record, we'll do that today in terms of our NFL awards. So maybe someone can jot one of these down so Perloff can remember who he picks. We'll do that a little bit later in the show.
You know me pretty well, Maggie. Who do you think I would pick?
Now I've got to remember your picks and my picks.
We're all in the same boat. Week one just changed everything in our mind. It's just like a new slate. But all right. I will find that on the break, and I will come back with my Heisman pick from last week.
All right. Very good. It's Maggie and Perloff. Again, 855-212-4227. Your biggest takeaways from the college football week one. All right, let's do it. Football season, Perloff, it is here. We are so thrilled to have Prize Picks aboard. They are the best place to get real money sports action while watching football. Season-long fantasy, it just takes too much time. Perloff can't remember his Heisman pick, let alone his setting his fantasy lineups. But on Prize Picks, you pick a new lineup every single day.
Oh, yeah. The app's so simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on the projection, and you could win up to 100 times your money. Maggie, I watched a lot of baseball this weekend, dialed in, because the Braves-Philly series is on national TV.
Yeah.
So I'm warning you right now, my baseball analysis is on point. On Prize Picks, you can still cash out even if the lineup isn't perfect and all the withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. And not only that, Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy app with injury insurance if one of your players goes down in the first half.
Yeah.
Prize Picks doesn't count as a loss. That's awesome. Because you know how many times, remember Aaron Rodgers last year? It can get ugly early. Just some of the ways, many ways Prize Picks puts its members first.
Absolutely love this. I need this kind of safety net in my life, this kind of insurance. All you got to do is download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP, M-A-N-D-P, like Maggie and Perloff. You get $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Perloff, we teased it. I picked Jalen Milroe, Alabama, of course, because he's my favorite person in college football.
Heisman. You've forgotten your Heisman vote.
Yeah, it's Jalen Milroe.
That we made 6 days ago.
There's a viral video of him staying after the game to congratulate every player on the Crimson Tide. He is a leader, Maggie. If leadership is a thing that you count in your Heisman vote, Jalen Milroe is going to run away with it, the Alabama quarterback. And actually, I mean, who knows? It's so early, but I feel really good about that team. But Maggie and I started the show. There's just so much to be positive about after week one in college football. There's so many exciting players. And then we have LSU. Once again, fifth year in a row, blew their opener.
In spectacular fashion. You know, this was a great game, and it came down, obviously, to the final drive. And for some unknown reason, LSU again. Well, I know why. The penalties, the bad mental mistakes, the personal foul penalties. I mean, in every way that you can be sort of undisciplined at the end of a football game, that's the story of a Brian Kelly team to start off a season. And he got really mad after the game, and we'll play you the audio clip that went viral.
Did he really?
He would like you to believe that he got...
I don't know. That was as fake as his Southern accent. I mean, he was. I'm sure he was mad, but that press conference was bizarre.
Well, let's hear it. Brian Kelly, this is after LSU ends up losing to USC in Las Vegas in the opener, said he's mad about his team blowing week one.
We're sitting here again talking about the same things. About not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it.
It's angry. I'm mad. Have you guys ever banged a table? Bogus is here.
You bang the table all the time.
I bang a table?
50 times a show.
I do?
Yes.
Do I do it as well as Brian Kelly? Am I as convincing?
No, because, well, I don't know. You're definitely more convincing than that, because that sounded like he was reading a plot line. Who says, what kind of, first of all, let's just start with the fact.
I'm mad.
If you're mad, you don't say, I am angry. That is not something a mad person says. You actually scream curse words. Like, you don't say, I am angry. I am angry. It sounds like a guy reading a line in a play. It's so weird. Well, this is faker than his southern accent. Not that he's not mad, but, like, he's trying to present this thing like, I'm drawing the line here. This is not acceptable. But it just sounded fake.
Can I come to the defense of Brian Kelly? Would you rather have him go up and be like, la-di-da, guys, no big deal?
I'd rather him be a genuine human being.
Good luck with that. It's a college football coach, Perloff. We can't reinvent the wheel.
Well, I'd like him to maybe pay off on that huge investment. Is he like the second or third highest paid coach at college football? Maybe the highest? Like, win some openers, dude. He'll still win 10 games. I'm not panicking at all about LSU. But this was kind of pathetic, especially in that environment. It was somehow a home game for LSU in Las Vegas. Like, it was ridiculous. You had every excuse. You had every reason to win that game because of the crowd, and you blew opportunities. That wasn't at the end either. Like, they blew opportunities in the beginning. They blew opportunities throughout. That was not good.
Well, USC...
USC
tried to give them the game at one point, having to burn multiple timeouts, couldn't get play calls in. It looked like USC was really on the ropes. And then what happened? USC's defense made a stand. They went on an incredible drive, and then as LSU is trying to get back into the game, USC forced a three and out. I thought that was really impressive. The USC defense couldn't have gotten any worse. LSU's defense, by the way, was also an adventure last year. They seem to get better this year as well. The linebackers are good. They're just undisciplined in the secondary, and they got these bad personal foul calls. That is definitely their fault, and Brian Kelly should be taking the blame for it as well.
How do you know it was the defenses played better and the offenses didn't play worse? It seems to me like a chicken or egg thing. I mean, you did just lose. Both teams lost two Heisman Trophy winners, the last two Heisman Trophy winners. Are you sure that those defenses are so much improved? Or is it possible that LSU misses Jaden Daniels and USC misses Caleb Williams, even though their quarterbacks did have big numbers?
I didn't think the quarterbacks were the problem. What I saw from USC was actually tackling, making plays, stopping guys. Like, that had been an issue last year. And I felt like I saw a renewed, toughness. They made plays. They made big plays when they needed to. Again, they forced a three and out when LSU should have come down and tied the game.
Yeah, but how do you know LSU's offense isn't bad? That's what I'm saying.
Because I think Garrett Nussmeier, he didn't look like he was totally flailing out there.
This is a time will tell here. And I'm curious how USC matches up against the good Big Ten teams and how LSU offense, I mean... You have to admit, Jaden Daniels is not there. Garrett Nussmeier played really well, but it's a completely different kind of offense. Jaden Daniels was pretty much 18 yards a play every play.
Right.
He either threw the ball a beautiful pass down the field. Garrett Nussmeier is a much more chip down the field quarterback. I think I'm curious if these defenses really were as impressive as we thought. I think the offenses both look kind of slow. I thought they looked USC hit a couple lucky strikes late. I'm not sure that they are the prolific Caleb Williams offense. We'll see. Maybe I'm more like
this offense. You got guys making one-handed catches. You've got a run game that's robust. I mean, they were pushing guys around at the line of scrimmage. I thought this was not only a great statement from USC. We'll stop on them for a second. I think they're going to be a factor in the Big Ten. I think they're playing for the Big Ten championship. It's possible that Lincoln Riley can coach up a quarterback. We know that. You have Miller Moss. If the defense is actually improved, even just more than last year, is it going to be Ohio State? No, it might not look like Ohio State. It might not look like Michigan yet. But to be honest, like, why not them? Why not be in the mix? Oregon didn't look that great. Michigan didn't look that great. I mean, Penn State looked good and Ohio State looked good. But let's see. Why not USC? Why can't they be there?
All right, let's talk about this in a month. We got Michigan and Penn State on the schedule.
Yep.
It's one thing to beat out Brian Kelly in week one. I'm curious if if they hold up physically against Michigan in Michigan, then you're right. But I'm a little more skeptical.
Rolf,
than you.
Did you not see how much muscle these guys put on? I watched the Holly Rowe had the amazing report just about how jacked all these dudes are on USC. They just changed everything.
So you definitely picking USC over Michigan?
I'm picking USC to play in the Big Ten title game.
Okay.
Yeah. Andrew Bogish is here with headlines for us. By the way, you can weigh in on that at 855-212-4227. We're on in California.
Good morning,
where
guys.
USC is. Good
morning. And UCLA, right? Doesn't that?
We know that because their head coach made sure to tell us a few times.
Your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. They can't win in Dublin. They can't win in Tallahassee. Florida State embarrassed stateside last night, 28-13 at home at the hands of unranked Boston College. How's that hot seat, Mike Norvell?
You know, sick to how, this, how the season started. Obviously, tonight, I failed in preparing the team to be able to go out and respond tonight.
Why did his name just feel wrong as it came out of my mouth? That's definitely his name, right?
Like, because there's another guy named Jay Norvell.
That's what freaked me out.
Yeah, right. I was about to say you did get it right.
Okay, good. Colorado State's Jay Norvell. Yikes.
I apologize for that one right there.
Thank you very much. The Noles defense allowed 263 rushing yards, which led to 39 minutes of possession. FSU is the fourth preseason top 10 team in the last decade to start 0-2. They've got this weekend off before hosting Memphis on the 14th. BC, meanwhile, wins Bill O'Brien's debut. Now, Noles not the only embarrassed Florida school this morning. Not only did Florida take a 41-17 beating from Miami in the swamp, but the Gators had recruits on campus to see it all in person, and those youngsters were sitting behind the Miami fan section right near the Hurricanes tunnel, which allowed the Canes to make their pitch to the high schoolers as they left with the W.
You better come to Miami. We won't Florida. You better come to Miami. You. Come to you. We won't Florida. You better come to Miami. You. Come to you. Come to you.
There were Florida staffers trying to keep the recruits and the Hurricanes apart, but they had no chance. I understand having recruits at this game ahead of time, but why are they anywhere near Miami people? Why do they put them there?
Seems like a bad idea.
Well, I don't know. I actually watched Florida play. I think it's a bad idea for the Miami Hurricanes to ask those guys to come to the U.
mean, yeah, you don't want the guys.
Yeah. Like, keep your own guys. You don't need any of those Gators. They stink. But then again, they won't have the same coach next year, so that's okay.
There is also that, whatever his name is. Then we get to Florida head coach Billy Napier. He didn't bang a table like Brian Kelly, but he did take a lazy shot at fans after the loss.
We got to go to work on the football part, you know, and I think we got to get more, we got to become a more consistent team, and we have to execute better. And if we can focus on those things and not necessarily what some guy in his basement saying in, you know, rural Central Florida on social media, then we got a chance to get better.
I mean, disagree. This is the time for that guy in that basement in rural. He's earned this one. He deserves to say whatever he wants to say. I mean, you know, I would probably listen to that guy. He seems like he has better ideas than Billy Napier.
Well, also, too, is Billy Napier in a time machine where people actually have to interact on the internet from their basement?
Thank you.
Yeah. Because
you got the internet to go now?
Yeah, can we just, like, get an updated reference
this
point?
Thing in your, it's like these bloggers in their basement, and I don't even know, on blankety-blank.com.
Blogspot.com.
That's not really how it works anymore.
I'm going to be honest. After just coming out of doing the show in a closet for a week, I kind of like being a little hermit. Yeah. I did get more empowered.
You got to go on your MySpace page and Rick Billy Napier.
I've never met a message board I didn't like.
I mean, Bogus, that was a dated reference, right?
I think so. I mean, that was the one that stuck out to me, is that we're still doing basement jokes.
Yeah, I think it's got to be a new thing. Coaches have not, the technology in their lives has not evolved since 1989. So
got a floppy disk.
They don't understand, like, they're not, I don't actually don't think they understand social media. They just sort of understand that it's negative.
Are they supposed to say, like, touch grass? Like, that's the new term.
Touch grass?
Touch grass.
Like, get out of the basement.
Yes. Get outside.
Yeah, breathe a little air.
But the basement thing, that's like a internet 1.0 thing, right?
Right. That's the initial joke.
Like, you have to dial up your AOL account.
When you think of an internet troll, where is this person? I think of them, like, sitting outside of, like, a Panera Bread or something. Just like a casual
lunch. That's a more modern version of it.
Right. I think that's the point now. Like, there is no more obvious geographical reference.
I'm asking you guys, if you think of a typical troll, where is that person firing off this social media post from?
Like, in his car before he goes into work.
Got it.
Yeah.
Just like, I hate my job.
Yeah.
I'm just going to fire off this tweet, say Billy Napier should be fired for the 100th time.
On the toilet. Put them in a geographic
place. That's a good one, Zoo.
What's that?
On the toilet.
On the toilet, yeah.
But yeah, actually, that's the one place where the most social media activity happens. But generally, though, I don't put them in a time and place. Like, they're everywhere. I mean, that's the thing about mobile phones. They're mobile.
Oh, thank you. See, yeah. I don't see the I don't see the bathroom, though, not to get into this. But is that a place where you're really getting angry? You're fire off mean tweets there? Like, I get in the parking lot before you head into work. Maybe you hate your boss, you hate your colleagues, all that stuff. You're just sort of getting ready.
Yeah.
But, like, the bathroom's kind of like you're by yourself. It's a sanctuary.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Maggie. It's usually a happy place. But that being said,
get away from your kids.
You say
your
mean
wife.
Tweets. You mean just tweets.
Yeah, right.
Right. There are just no. Wait, you think there's a positive tweet out there about the Gators?
I've never seen one.
Yeah, this is college football. Nobody cares. Nobody wants positive.
I've never seen a positive tweet about anything.
Leave you, Maggie.
And if you did, you would immediately scroll past it because it was so boring. Like,
it doesn't resonate.
Once in a while, I get those sports writers who are like, be nicer to people or some ethical crap like that.
Oh, Seth Davis.
I love Seth Davis. Please be kind.
Nope.
I'm like, dude, who's coming to Duke next year, Seth? I'm not following you for the
motivation.
Yeah. I'll follow the Dalai Lama for that. Just tell me
even
about the
Kansas. Billy Napier fired.
Yeah, tell me the Kansas freshman. No, generally, you're right. You do say that. Like, that's a thing that people say. Oh, the internet and social media is too negative. But let's face it, that's the only thing that's interesting, right? Like, nobody wants. Can you imagine someone tweeting from their toilet today? Man, I think we should give Billy Napier a second chance.
That's someone who's got a real sunny attitude.
Some quick NFL notes. Ja'Marr Chase was technically at Bengals practice yesterday, but did not actually participate in the workout again. Zach Taylor is still calling the situation day-to-day with no clarity on Chase's status for this weekend's opener. The Cowboys naming Cooper Rush their backup QB, which means Trey Lance is number three. And Russell Wilson, not just the Steelers' starting quarterback, he is also one of their four captains. The San Diego Padres, a 3-0 home win over the Tigers after the Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers earlier in the day. So San Diego leads Arizona by a game for the top NL wild card. The Mets, a half game behind idle Atlanta for the last spot after a 4-1 home win over the Red Sox. Guys, back to you.
The Russell Wilson captain headline. I mean, that proves that we were wrong all along. This man truly is a leader, Maggie. I saw that headline pass. I'm like, Mike Tomlin must have twisted a lot of arms to get Russell Wilson in as captain.
I feel like they gave it to him the day he signed. Like, it was part of the agreement.
Don't players name the captain? I believe it's in that.
Yeah, and I think you always vote for the starting quarterback. Like, how many starting quarterbacks are not captains?
Well, that's always a red flag in college.
Yeah, I feel like that becomes a story. Not a captain. But if there was ever going to be a quarterback who is not a captain, it sure as heck would be Russell Wilson, right? Like, is that the thing? His teammates never have liked Russ.
It's like, that hasn't stopped him.
He's not like a guy's guy. He's like a weird little CEO in the corner of the locker room.
I think it would really damage him if he was not a captain.
Yeah, but it would have. I mean, first of all, he just got through a quarterback battle with Justin Fields. Yeah. Like, I do think it would have made sense. He did. There was a list of captains. It was T.J. Watt. I think it was Cam Hayward and somebody else on there. And Russ did not fit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that headline was clearly forced by Mike Tomlin.
Yes, I think that this is part of the negotiation. Russ gets to town. He's like, and by the way, I'm a captain. Like, I'm going to be a captain.
Wait,
I don't even think there's a vote. It'd probably be a secret vote anyway. So who's got the breakdown?
So what you're saying is secret. Price Waterhouse Coopers didn't come out with a little steel briefcase, and we've done the accounting.
But he wouldn't have got it if he didn't win the job.
Price Waterhouse Coopers. I think that he might have.
This would be a great
scandal if actually they voted Justin Fields as the captain, but they changed it. That'd be awesome.
Or if, if Russ was a captain and Justin Fields wasn't a captain, that'd be the number one story today. Justin Fields is another guy who doesn't get along great with teammates.
That's true. 855-212-4227. Good for Russ. I'm sure that's important to him. Throw a forward pass. We have, thank you, Bogish. We have so much news coming out of this weekend from both college football, but also from the pros, and a very serious situation that thankfully disaster was avoided. We'll get to that next. It's Maggie and Perlo. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You know, I thought that things were going to start to calm down a little bit for the San Francisco 49ers. You got Ayuk signed, still working on Trent Williams, but obviously that needs to happen for the 49ers to be at full strength, Perloff. And then out of the blue, you get this horrible story that could have been even worse with Ricky Pearsall, the first-round wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, doing an autograph signing in downtown San Francisco. And afterwards, 3:30 in the afternoon, the guy's walking by himself, gets held up by a 17-year-old with a gun, shoots Ricky Pearsall through the chest. This guy is so lucky to be alive, Perloff. And not only that, he was wrestling with the gunman, and multiple shots were fired. Even the teenager was also hit, but he's going to survive as well. This is so awful of a story that could have just been so much more tragic. But now Ricky Pearsall's out of the hospital. He's on PUP, so he's going to be out for at least the first 4 weeks of the season. This is just an unreal twist and beyond scary moment for this young wide receiver and for that whole city and team.
No, it was crazy because the headline came out that Ricky Pearsall's been shot.
Yes.
That was the first headline. So that's immediately concerning. Like, oh, okay, is he still alive? We had no idea. Then it said he'd been shot in the chest. I'm like, okay, well, this isn't good.
No.
This seems terrible. Then the most incredible thing to me was video of him walking away from the incident after being shot in the chest. I don't know much about that kind of science, but what are the odds of that? He's walking off, and he's going to be back in 4 weeks. It's one of the most unexpected stories. We had talked yesterday about the Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson got shot and came back, and that was a miracle itself. But he didn't get shot in the chest. I think he got shot in the lower body. So this is one of the quickest, most bizarre turnarounds I've ever seen. The fact that he'll be back on the field in a month is a miracle.
I mean, he's the unluckiest and luckiest person because obviously you're unlucky that this would even happen to you, but then lucky that you are going to walk away from this with your life and with your career and everything, and he's going to get to play football. This is beyond serious, like, this type of thing to happen in the middle of the day. He's minding his own business. Mm. They do not think that he was targeted because he was a football player. Mm. You know, they mentioned something about a Rolex watch or something, but it's not like they don't believe San Francisco police, at least from the latest I'm reading on ESPN, don't believe that this was like someone who saw him doing the autograph signing and then followed him or knew he was a professional athlete. This is just a random act of violence, which is so scary. But this is just another thing here. Like, you know, we talk about how much pressure is on the San Francisco 49ers. Again, this is not football stuff. This is real life stuff. But everything matters. And you talk about trying to be one of the best teams in the NFL and trying to get back to the Super Bowl. And this is not all about sports. This is about life. But think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, how much more can we put into an offseason for San Francisco that now you have to, you know, get this total left turn? Incredibly serious, puts all the contract stuff like into perspective, that none of this is even really important. It's all about health in your life, but it just feels like things are not exactly trending in this great direction for San Francisco, and thank God Ricky Pearsall is going to be okay.
Yeah, it's funny, Ricky Pearsall, him being shot, being injured and not there, that has such little impact, though. He is nothing but an insurance policy for not being able to sign Brandon Ayuk. They basically used a first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk leverage.
Didn't really work that well.
Well, it worked fine.
Well, he got a contract, though.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I think that's the old Andy Reid strategy. You draft the guy to pressure the other guy to sign. I don't really know how it works. But the point is Ayuk's there. Nobody's downgrading the Niners' chances because Ricky Pearsall will be out for a month. I don't think he was well. He didn't practice a lot this offseason.
Right,
I don't think he was well integrated in the offense. I understand what you're saying about different things happening with the Niners. This one is no on-field impact.
Don't you think there's a mental toll, though?
That's a question. Yeah, that's a good question. But I don't know. Like, the holdouts, I don't think, have a huge mental toll. I'm not sure that if you look, you might have a soft tissue injury.
Yeah.
But generally, though, I don't think holdouts means losses. These are veteran players. If they stay healthy, what's the problem? They're pro athletes. That's a big issue. They're a very old team. Can they stay healthy? And I know Trent Williams might not be out there week one. That's a big deal. But generally, like, are these distractions? You're a football player. You get out there on the field. the ball is hiked and you have a job to do. Is it really going to weigh on them? For example, this issue? I don't know if it will.
I think these things can shake people. I you know, we're all human, right? So yeah, there's a, the ball is snapped and you got to go out there and perform. I get that part of it, but there's also a, again, I think you're bringing some baggage from the offseason too, from last year's Super Bowl, being so close, losing.
That's true.
Then it's been one thing after the next in terms of just team building, contract stuff, however you want to talk about it. The general manager and the head coach are answering questions about this every single day. And then it's just, this is a bizarre one with Ricky Pearsall. And again, thank God he's going to be fine. But, you know, you have your first round draft pick get shot in broad daylight in the middle of San Francisco. Like, you got to admit, this is not trending. These aren't great, not omens, but these aren't, this is an amazing way to start off your season.
I can't go there with you on that one. Maybe because he's a rookie. I mean, Brock Purdy's going to drop back and he's going to be looking at Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, who he loves, and Christian McCaffrey, and George Kittle. I mean, it's not, I would think, especially this, they don't really even, this could be something, I mean, they don't even really know Ricky Pearsall that well. He hasn't been integrated into the team. I'm not sure this one will impact him. Trent Williams holdout certainly feels like a more, to me, on-field impact.
Which, by the way, it's Tuesday. They're playing Monday night against the Jets. Where is Trent Williams?
Yeah, that I understand. But I don't know that this kind of, it's so random too, Maggie. There's no rhyme or reason. A Super Bowl hangover, that makes sense.
Right.
But just this random crime, I think they're just grateful that he's coming back. I don't know if this is one of those dings on the Niners offseason.
You know, it's one of those things where I think if we, let's fast forward 6 months. And we're looking back and it's like, what happened to the 49ers? You know, say they make the playoffs, they lose in the first round, they lose in the second round, they don't get back to the Super Bowl. And we're like diagnosing, like, man, what happened? Doesn't this feel like one of those things that just gets added to the laundry list? It's like they came with the Super Bowl hangover. McCaffrey got hurt early. You had contract stuff with Ayuk and Trent Williams the whole offseason. Ricky Pearsall got shot. He survived, you know, thank goodness. But that was a distraction. And then this happened and then that happened. Like, I could see it being one of those things where, again, thank God the guy's going to be okay. This could have been a horribly tragic ending. It just seems like another thing. If the 49ers underachieve this year, we'd be looking back through the laundry list of stuff and thinking, man, look at everything that was stacked against them in reality. Yes, they have a great team, an awesome roster, but look at all the things that got stacked against them in this specific season.
You're totally right. I understand that, but that's not happening. If they stay healthy, if those guys stay healthy, which is a big, big concern, that team's not disappointing. How, if you get all those superstars out on the field, how are they going to disappoint? It's injuries. It's specifically McCaffrey and Deebo and probably Trent Williams. I understand what you're saying. I just think they're just so good. If they get that group out on the field healthy, what happened 2 years ago in the NFC title game? That was
they got hurt.
It was a pure health situation. What happened in the Super Bowl? They got hurt. Dre Greenlaw. What happened the year after they made the Super Bowl last time? Nick Bosa got hurt early, and they just totally folded. So I understand what you're saying. I think these guys are professional, and they can compartmentalize. I really do, especially Pearsall, because this is just so unprecedented. There's nothing, there's no experience they've had in their lives. Like, what do you do with this? You just say, like, wow, thank God. That's all you can say.
I don't even know how you move on. Like, as, you know, how do you, just on a human level, right? I would never want to leave my house again. You know, like, you could see that instinct to just say, I'm like, what does the world have for me? 855-212-4227. Curious for 49ers fans, how you're feeling about this with the season on the doorstep. I know Zoo's big Jets fan. Obviously, we have a lot of them around here. With no Trent Williams, I feel like you have to be feeling a lot better about your Jets.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, listen, I'm not saying they're going to go out there, they're going to do anything like they're going to kick anybody's ass, but they look really, really good right now. I mean, outside of Hassan Reddick not being there, but if you tell me that Trent Williams ain't going to be there, I feel way better about Jermaine Johnson.
Zoo, a question. When you say they look really good, you understand it's the offseason, they haven't played a game. Yeah, so
don't ruin it for Zoo.
Where are they looking good, exactly?
Throughout the
on
camp,
paper.
Man. And on paper, to be fair.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, listen, I know you know about dream teams falling apart with the Eagles.
Yeah. Was that a good thing or a bad thing that they look good on paper? Are you guys saying that they are going to be good? I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of optimism. 3.5-point spread right now. If they can't beat the Niners in week one with all this going on with San Francisco, then immediately I'm jumping off that bandwagon again.
I mean, that point spread dropped pretty dramatically for an NFL game.
What was it?
I think it started. Did it open at 5.5?
Yeah, it was 5.5. Not even 5 days ago.
855-212-4227. 49er fans, how are you feeling right now? I'm grateful, as we all are, that Ricky Pearsall is going to be okay. What about the football side? Maggie and Perloff, so much to do today, including who's the biggest threat in the Big Ten? Got a new member.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.